During the course of the dinner, one of the attendees asked all of us about movies that had made impressions upon their lives and provided meaning. One after another mentioned various artsy, avant-garde, thought-provoking movies. As it came to Senator McCain's turn, he proudly stated that the movie that has influenced him with the most over his career was a 1963 comedy called It's a Mad, 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 Mad World with Spencer Tracy. At that point, I realized that John McCain is my guy.
I mean, if Porky's had been out early, he probably would have picked that. House Republican leader Jim Durkin joins us, who I don't want to put words in your mouth, Mr. Durkin, but I would think, you, based on what I've seen about you and McCain, he was a mentor, if not your political idol.
No, he really was. And, you know, I had the absolute honor and pleasure to have known and worked with him over the past 20 years. There's so much about him that I appreciated, a man of such humility, but a man who had such great force throughout this nation, but through the world. And I use that, you know, that was one of the first moments that I had met him where I realized that, you know, no matter where he's at, he is able to diffuse the situation and to bring levity and bring calmness to everyone in the room. Because I'll tell you, Steve, when I walked into this small dining room, it was the Chicago elite. There were billionaires, and I'm like, what the heck am I doing there? I knew there were two people who didn't belong there. One of them was me, and the other one was John McCain.
Yeah, the stuffiest of the stuffy.
Yeah. But he made me feel at home. He was sitting next to me. He's cracking jokes, you know, giving me elbows. You know, he's a man's man. And
right.
It's just, I've got so many wonderful memories of him. And, you know, and I've said this over and over the last few days that, you know, this nation needs more John McCains, you know, a guy who disavowed the divisiveness in politics and said, if you're in the Capitol, do your work, do good things for the people of the United States. And I've just admired him so much because he just, you know, was above that. He was an independent man. He was a straight shooter, and you knew you were getting with him. But, you know, the guy's background is just fascinating.
That's
he wouldn't
amazing.
Talk about his days in captivity. He just wouldn't do it either.
Yeah, he has all of that amazing, and he had the a great understanding of the power of self-deprecation. I know one of the stories I read about you and him was at one event, I think it was when you were running against Senator Durbin, he was thanking you for all the support you'd given him, and in that case it would have been 2000, because I know you were there for him in 2008 as well, but I think what he said was, correct me if I'm wrong, Durkin's the only guy in Illinois crazy enough to support me.
Oh, that's correct. He said that. And he continued to remind me of that over the years. And that's why he and I have, you know, I consider him as part of my large extended family, but a guy who I bonded with. And I see so many similarities with him when he referred to his time in the Naval Academy as a four-year course of insubordination and rebellion.
Right.
You know, how could he not love the guy? You know, he just wanted to get through, and he wanted to defend his country. He wanted to be reminded as a man who helped defend the national security of this nation. And, you know, it's just his legacy will grow larger and larger by the year. And people are going to look back at the politics that we have right now on both sides of the aisle are so divisive, and it's a politics division, and it's something that he would not stand for. And he was that voice that would come out of the wilderness and put, you know, would shut some of these terrible ideas down at times, but he was just a person you could listen to and he would make sense.
The great thing about democracy is everybody gets their view heard. The worst thing about democracy is everybody gets their view heard. So you can have people block things that are legitimately good. So I don't want to pick on anybody here because that's not what this conversation is about. But did he ever give you advice on how to deal with that in Springfield?
You know, indirectly he did. We would talk about Illinois politics and the problems that are wrong in Illinois and, you know, going back 20 years. But he didn't have to tell me, but I just followed his lead on so many things. And I like to think that I am also an independent voice on many issues and many times in Springfield. I'm a partisan Republican, but I also I believe in compromising and accomplishing things that are good for the people of Illinois. And I believe that is the spirit John McCain would ask for me, but also anybody else who serves in public service. And, you know, and I truly have tried to emulate the life that he has lived in Washington as this independent voice of reason that is going to put the public good before politics and before his party.
House Republican Leader Durkin on the phone. One of the and again, we talk again about how funny he was, but one of the things that always amused me is for people that didn't know him, it always seemed to thrill him when he wasn't immediately recognized, because then he could really have some fun. Who did he introduce himself at as in front of you most often when people didn't know who he was?
Al Gore. It was a Greek restaurant in Dempster in Waukegan, and we were driving in. He was in I picked him up at the airport going to a rally. It was a campaign finance reform meeting in Northwestern University, and he had a thing against chain restaurants. I never asked him why. He was not in the mood to, and I wasn't going to follow up and ask him what's his problem with chain restaurants, but then I picked this place called Cat. He said, I've been there before. It's a nice Greek restaurant, you know. Greasy spoon, so to speak. Those guys don't like to hear that. But he came in, the owner, he's an older Greek gentleman, he just turns around and he goes, I know you. And McCain, in his unflappable humor, he goes, yeah, I'm Al Gore. So, the place is up for grabs. People, all of a sudden, their heads are spinning around like tops. And, you know, we sit down, and the place is just out of control. And this is about 2 months after President Bush had been sworn in as president.
Right.
So he sent over food to us, and then he played this game with the waitress, which he does all the time. He's asking the waitress about what is this gyro sandwich? And then she started to explain it to him, and he has this smirk on his face, and then he says, I'll try one of those gyros. And then, you know, his friend who was with him, he said he does this all the time wherever he goes. He plays this game with this gyro thing. And yeah, it's just, you know, it's just part of this humor, but also the humility of a guy who's at the top of the world, who's every word that he says that people throughout the United States and also through the world hang out to. And he's playing a little word game with a waitress at a diner about what is a gyro.
What's a gyro? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, you know, but it was just those moments. Just, you know, I have so many great memories, and, you know, I know I know Pat's on the show, Pat Brady, but Pat was with me on so many of these meetings with John McCain that are priceless and things that will live with us for forever. But let me just say this about McCain. We would go to places, and there were crowds that would be waiting for a long time to see him, get pictures taken with him. He always took the time to ask me about my family, to talk to my family, and particularly to my parents. And he did the same with Pat Brady and his beautiful wife and his kids. And, you know, this is the guy that he was so proud of large families. And he loved it. He loved to hear about this. And and that was the first thing out of his mouth is, how are your parents doing? But John McCain at that point, people were, as I said, you know, people all over the world were asking, were wondering where he was at on a specific position regarding defense or security or even on the tax structure. And he's interested in about, you know, what's going on with Tom and Collette Durkin. You know, are they feeling okay? This is not what you expect out of a man who is, you know, at that level in society and in the world, but it just reflects upon how decent of a human being he is.
So we talked to Senator Durbin earlier, and he mentioned that one of the things that why he had such respect for McCain is that he was willing to admit that he was not perfect and had made mistakes in the past. You deal with these guys a lot. Is that a rare quality?
Yes. Yes.
Starts in the White House, by the way.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct, Steve. And, it is a rare quality. I've been around so many of them, and there's a lot of people in public life who are more impressed with themselves than they should, who believe that they are above the regular taxpayer, the man and woman who work hard, who raise families. But he never felt that he was above that. And he was clearly a person that admitted his flaws in his life, but knew that he was not perfect. And that's another trait that I admired about him, because he was approachable. He was, and, you know, you go out to Washington, you see these congressmen and senators walking around, and, you know, you feel that they have kind of a guard on. John McCain never did. He would talk to anybody about anything. I remember walking through the Loop with him after an event back in 2007 when his campaign was in shambles, but we were at the Mercantile Exchange, and we had a fundraiser in the east side of the Loop, and he said, should we get a cab? He goes, no, let's just take a walk. You know, he's just walking through the Loop. This is John McCain. And, you know, he just, you know, people were just coming up to him, and he was talking to him. And, I mean, he was just such a humble person, just wanted to enjoy life and to be able to talk to people and give them an opportunity to say hello. Because I will tell you this, the people who meet John McCain, who have met him, will never forget that moment.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and that's a special
they gave
quality.
That opportunity. It really is.
Just a couple, 3 years ago, the last time he was in live, and Ross, my son Ross, was still working on the show, and we sent Ross out to get McCain from the security desk at Tribune, and Ross was rightfully surprised that McCain was by himself. He was meeting Pat Brady at the station. He was by himself. He's one of the most famous faces in America and one of the most powerful politicians in the country. He wasn't traveling with an entourage. He wasn't traveling with a security detail. He was just John McCain. And you think about everything he's gone through in life, what could scare him, right?
Nothing.
I mean, what could possibly get John McCain frightened at this point in his life? And he talked about that the other day. And I think this is such a great perspective. And the letter that he wrote, the goodbye letter, we're going to read that next hour.
It is. You know, and he said nothing scared him. And there's, I said there's a million stories about him. Here's a story that friends of his told me that he will never admit to. But on 9/11, the Capitol Police had removed all the members of Congress from Capitol Building because they felt that was going to be attacked. The Capitol Police came up to McCain's office and said, Senator, you have to, you know, Washington's under attack, and so is the Capitol. And he looked at the Capitol Police and he said, you think this stuff scares me? Leave me alone. He went back into his office. And I believe that he stayed in his office that day. He didn't leave the Capitol building. That shows you that this guy, nothing scared him. He was not afraid of anything. And, you know, it's stories after story that just make me so honored to have been able to know him and to work with him. And I'm so, I will remember him for the rest of my life as my friend.
And condolences on the loss of your friend, but we were all blessed to have him for as long as we did, and hopefully the message that he sent out in that letter yesterday, which included the hope for America that we'll get through this the way we get through everything else, hopefully that'll prove to be true. So thank you, Leader Durkin. I appreciate your time.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.